Welcome to the Decent Rowing Podcast. My name's Lachlan. I'm here with my dad, Ken, and together we have decentrowing.com. We have a heap of instructional videos on how to row, and members can access them in an extensive library that we've got. So today we're going to be talking all about grip and how you hold on to the oar, essentially. So how you hold on to sculling oars, how you hold on to sweep oars, and it's one of the parts of the rowing stroke that's often overlooked, but how you handle the oar feeds into pretty much every other part of the stroke. And if you're getting it right, you can have a really good time with the rest of your technique. And if you're getting it wrong, it can be very hard to break some habits until you realize that grip's a limiting factor. So Ken, maybe what would you think of first when you're thinking about teaching athletes how to hold on to the handle?
I think the most critical thing is that it has to be a relaxed grip. If you don't have a relaxed grip, then your entire row is not going to be as productive as it can be. I asked Lyle McCarthy once, what's the most important thing you can teach an athlete? And he said, grip, most important. And really the main reason for that is because of this relaxation. It's really difficult to have fine control over movements of your hand if you've got a really tight grip on the oar, and it also wears your muscles out. It's just fatigue everywhere. So a really relaxed grip, I think, is the most important thing. There's things we can talk about in a minute about where your hand position on the oar, but the critical thing, I think, is being relaxed in the boat, relaxed in the recovery, relaxed at the catch, and dare I say it, relaxed in the drive as well with your grip, because you'll find you get a much more feel of the boat and a much better rowing stroke out of it. So in your experience, Lachlan, have many coaches talked to you about the relaxation aspect of grip?
So I guess some coaches are more into teaching grip as a way to improve technique than others. But yeah, when I was learning to row, after you get through the sort of the square blades rowing phase and you start feathering and things like that, especially in a sweep boat, we'd often include in the warm-up things like outside hand only drills, inside hand only drills, and that's a good way of trying to separate the different jobs for each hand in a sweep boat. So typically we're feathering with the inside hand, we're using the outside hand as a lever, and it's a bit of a balance control. But being able to separate the two hands out, doing them as a drill with the boat set up, and eventually when the boats are quite balanced, like good boats, you can do it with all the crew rowing, but you really want to have the boat set up so you can start to learn the correct movements in a relaxed fashion and not be too stressed while you're doing the movements. Yeah, what do you reckon, Ken?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that happens as well is that your balance is going to be better if you're relaxed, if you're in tune with the boat. And what tends to happen, particularly in younger crews with sweep rowing, is that if the boat's unbalanced, they tend to just tense up. And so they tense up their grip, they tense up their body, they tend to try and lean to try and correct the balance. And all of those things are counterproductive for balance. So to have a really relaxed grip makes a big difference to boat balance, both in sculling and in sweep. So I think it's a really important thing to teach. And there's a drill to teach relaxed grip. There's a number of them around, but one in particular is in sweep, is just to make sure that your outside hand is just essentially just hooked over the oar and not really grabbing onto the oar at all. And with the inside hand, and this applies in sculling as well, is if you just consciously, occasionally, just move your fingers, wriggle your fingers around a little bit. I've heard Anthony Edwards describe as just like trying to play the piano on the handle, just to make sure that you're not really hanging onto that oar and trying to squeeze the sap out of it. And so a useful drill to do pretty much every time you go out, I think, is to practice the relaxed grip, just by making sure that you can move your fingers and you don't have that tenseness in your shoulders. Because if you have a tight grip on the oar, then you're going to have tense shoulders. If you have tense shoulders, then all sorts of issues flow out of that we've talked about before. So practice it pretty much every time you go out. I'd practice the relaxed grip. The other thing that's really important is to make sure you've got your hands in the right place. And one of the things we've talked about in the past a fair bit is what's the gearing of an oar. So how heavy is the load you've got on an oar, which essentially is the ratio of the outboard to the inboard. So from the gate out to the end of the oar, and then from the gate to the end of the handle inboard. And that ratio is really important from a gearing perspective. So, Lachlan, you've had a fair bit of experience in rowing with different club boats and different school boats. How do you think that gearing in a boat can be influenced by your grip?
So I don't know if gearing necessarily changes with grip unless you've got your hand in the wrong position. So, you know, in a sculling boat, it's a simple example of you want to have your thumbs pretty much on the end of the oars. They can be sort of tucked under a little bit, but essentially on the end of the oars. If you've got your hands down the oar shaft a little bit, I will say you've got extra grip coming out of your handles, out of your hands at the finish or through the stroke. You're going to be rowing with a different inboard than what the oars are set on. And likewise, if you're holding a sweep oar handle, not at the end, so you don't have the outside hand right lining up with the end of the oar, then you're going to be rowing on a higher gearing, so essentially less inboard to outboard ratio, and it's going to make the stroke a lot harder, and it's also going to change the angle at which the oar is at the catch and the finish. And so if you've got your hand not quite on the end of the oar, it's going to be a lot easier to get a larger catch angle, and likely a catch angle that's too far for what you're meant to be rowing on. And so that can make a bit of a difference in gearing, especially around the catch. At the finish, it's not so pronounced because the angle isn't as great as it is at the catch. But essentially, if you set a boat up and set the oars up to be a certain thing, make sure that the hands are right on the end of the handles. And that applies for sculling and sweep. So sweep, obviously, it's just the outside hand, which is the main lever in the sweep boat, but also the inside hand. You don't want to have that too far down the handle. You want to have it on the grip and in a nice comfortable position where you can apply the power. You don't want to be trying to row with a very high gearing, i.e. have your hands a long way towards the gate. They want to be essentially on the end of the oar. Yeah, except in sweep, the outside hand's on the end of the oar. But sculling, you need to have the hands on the ends of the oars to get the full benefit of what your boat's been set up for.
Absolutely. I see a lot of people fiddling with boats and wondering about whether they should change the inboard by half a centimetre or even less sometimes. And so if you're changing it by half a centimetre but you're not paying attention to where your hand is on the oar, then it's quite easy to change the inboard by 2 centimetres just by having your hand move down the shaft a little bit. And that's a very heavy oar if it's meant to be set at 89 inboard, for example, and you've got it on 87 because of where you've got your hands, then that's a significant difference. So something to be very mindful of. Every athlete should watch for this, and coaches in particular with beginner athletes, make sure you keep an eye on them and make sure they keep their thumb on the end of the oar. Just a bit of a trick too with sweep oars, if you're using wide boats, like some of the older equipment especially, then you can find that in the centre of the boat, the end of the oar will actually fit inside the gunwale of the boat. And personally, I've been bitten by that because you find some people, in order to keep their hand on the end of the oar in a sweep boat, they tend to drop their little finger over the end of the oar. And if you're in rough water or the boat rocks a lot, then you may find you get serious damage to that little finger if it gets jammed inside the gunwale. So from personal experience, it's something I'll never forget, is be mindful to keep your outside finger on top of the oar, but right at the end of the oar, and just feel that. The other thing with the grip and the sweep boat is what happens to your hands as you're rowing, and particularly at the finish and at the catch, but particularly at the finish. So perhaps, Lachlan, you like the analogy of a nail through your hand as far as sweep rowing goes. So what happens to the hand, outside hand, during the rowing stroke in a sweep boat?
So essentially the outside hand, you want to keep it. Imagine you're sitting in the boat and you're looking at your fingers. They're sitting flat on top of the oar handle. They're parallel with the boat, essentially. So you want to have your hands sort of pivoting parallel with the boat. And at the catch, that means that your inside fingers are mostly making the connection. And at the finish, it's the outside fingers that are mostly making the connection. So you sort of imagine you have a nail driven through the center of your hand, or just near your knuckles, say, into the oar handle. And as you come forward, it pivots. You don't want to have it rigidly locked on, like you're hanging on to like a chin-up bar. You don't want to be hanging on really tightly through the stroke. You want to be a bit more dynamic and applying the power a little bit more with the inside fingers, so the index and middle finger at the catch in a sweep boat with the outside hand, and then at the finish it's more through the, you know, the pinky and the ring finger and the middle finger as well. Although all fingers are on and connected and driving, but just because of the way the you want to let the handle pivot in your hand, that's basically what happens. In a sculling boat, you'll see all sorts of different things happening with the handles. So for me, I actually have a tendency with my left hand at the finish or where I hold the oar, I have an extra finger width between my thumb and my finger than I do on my right hand. So that I actually hold the handle a little bit further down. And I don't know when I picked up this habit, but I've tried rowing with my hands. I haven't checked out my hands to see if it's something anatomical. I don't think it is. I think it's just a habit that I picked up. And so when I row along, my left hand isn't the same as my right hand, but I've been doing it for so long that I don't think I can really change it very well. So it's important when people are learning to row right from the start, you keep an eye on what they're doing with their handles. Another thing that I've seen in quite elite athletes is they'll tap down with a dropped wrist and then they'll use their hand to sort of manipulate the oar handle back to about a flat wrist position when they get to about half slide. So there's lots and lots of different things that people can be doing unnecessarily with their hands to try and make their way through the stroke in a comfortable way. So Cam, what do you reckon to be some tips with sculling, a bit like the feathering of the oar, so that the grip changes a lot with feathering, and that's where a lot of people come unstuck?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to understand too, like you were saying a minute ago, that you don't really want to adjust your grip during the rowing stroke. If you may have time to do it rowing 18, but if you're rowing at 38, then it's really difficult to be able to do those sort of movements. So as you say, some people will tap out and then they'll quietly roll the oar between their fingers at some point on the recovery in order to get it back into the position they want it for the catch. And that's really something to avoid because it's a habit that's hard to break. But the critical thing really with the feathering is to understand that it's mostly about the fingers. And so you want to be able to feather with the fingers. There's a few different views around on the finer details of this. The purists would say that you feather entirely with your fingers. So you have a flat wrist and you just roll it out with your fingers. And then there's another school of thought which allows you, if I put it that way, to use your wrist a little bit at the initiating the feather and a little bit in the final stage of the square up. So it's using your wrist a tiny bit and then using your fingers for most of it. A couple of things to be really mindful of. I've seen athletes in the past that essentially have trouble sculling now because they had excessive wrist movement when they were learning and they never got out of the habit. So they'd feather with their wrist all the time. And if you're doing a lot of rowing, your wrist doesn't really like that. It's quite a large movement and it's easy to get issues with the tendons and muscles in your forearm. And so something to really avoid. And if you have an athlete that says, oh, it doesn't matter, I've seen world-class rowers feathering with their wrists, then I'd encourage them to understand that they may be doing themselves some damage if they do that. Not everyone can feather with their wrists in a healthy way. The other thing about feathering in a sculling boat, it's easiest to teach if you start teaching people how to feather. Instead of having them hold the oar in their fist and then roll their fingers out, I'd suggest have them hold the oar in their fingertips and with their fingers just curved around it and then roll it in. I think you'll find that it's easier for beginners to pick up that technique. But feathering's one of those classic things. If you feather at the finish and when you tap out, if you do it with your wrists, then that tends to drive your shoulders down a little bit too, makes you slump a little bit in the boat. It's harder to get your hands away. So I think feathering is really important. So from a practical level, Lachlan, when you've been experimenting with how to learn to feather, how have you found the best way to go about it?
So when I first learned how to feather, I definitely would have dropped the wrists, and I probably did that for probably the first six-ish years of my rowing career. I don't think any coach was particularly worried about flat wrists with me when I was learning how to row. And So that at its extreme, you want to be avoiding the large wrist drop because it often brings down your body. It brings down your forearms, which follows into your elbows. Your shoulders come down. You put weight down into the bow of the boat, and that's really not what you want. When you see if you looked at some of like pretty much any elite sculling race, you'll see athletes dropping their wrists, but they're very good at that point at not letting it affect the rest of their stroke. So they've been able to isolate that. And as Ken said, there's lots of different stories of people who literally can't row sculling boats anymore because they've got such bad tendonitis in their hands. But for me, it's one of those things where dropping the wrist is a very quick way to feather. It's a very quick way to square up just by snapping the wrists back into position. So it's very quick. The tap out where you roll it out into the fingers exclusively is very good for posture and very good for balance. And you keep the blades off the water. It's very good at a low rate, but it's actually quite slow. Like if you actually practice it yourself, you can feather the blade very quickly if you drop your wrist quickly. So that's a positive for it, but it often leads to other poor technique things. It makes it harder to balance on the way forward. But if you tap down and you feather exclusively with rolling out in the fingers, that's very good for balance, but it's very slow. And so the best way that I've found is a bit of a hybrid move between the two. So you're initiating the feather with a little drop of the wrist, but then it finishes off. Once you start to get the blade twisting, the oar twisting in the gate, and you get that mechanical advantage of that square edge in the gate, it flicks over to the feather, then you can start more of a rollout. And likewise, when you go to square up, this is sculling I'm talking about specifically, but when you square up, you can start the movement by bringing the wrists back up to be flat for the drive phase, and then the little roll of the oar into the fingers gets that blade squaring up quickly and locking up. So it's a bit of a hybrid between the two, and I did a video on it recently that I reckon, you know, is pretty good demonstration of it. But yeah, in sculling, in sweep boats, it's a similar thing. You want to have a bit of a hybrid wrist drop roll out with the fingers on the inside hand. You can still use the thumb to sort of manipulate the handle and get that roll out into the fingers, but as it's a much bigger handle, it's a lot harder to do without any wrist drop whatsoever. But yeah, I'd recommend a little bit of wrist drop, but if it's affecting the rest of your technique, like I was saying, dropping the shoulders, putting weight into the bow of the boat, then I'd try and avoid that and go for more of a roll. But you want to be doing it quickly, and you want something that's going to perform at race pace, not just at a slow rating.
No, absolutely. The other thing too with a sweep, or when you're hanging onto a sweep oar, is I'm a bit of a fan of making sure that the athletes have their thumbs underneath the oar. I've seen some athletes trying to have that seem to be lost with what the thumb's meant to do. And I treat the thumb, particularly the thumb on the outside hand on the oar, is I'd suggest encourage people to use the thumb to put the oar in the water. Now, the concept of letting the blade drop into the water, I don't subscribe to. The blade will go in quicker if you actively put the blade in the water. So if you're going to actively put the blade in the water in a sweep boat, then the best way to do that is with your outside hand, because that's how we want to drive that motion. And if you've got your thumb underneath the blade, underneath the handle, and you try and put the oar in really quickly, then you'll find your thumb's actually what's putting the oar into the water. So you don't have to hang on to the oar tightly to do this. You just have to have your thumb there doing it. And I found a really useful drill in coaching in a sweep boat, particularly in an 8, for example, is to have some of the crew sit out so you've got a nicely balanced boat, and encourage a quick catch by asking the athletes to sit at the catch and put the oar in with their thumb. So put the oar in with their thumb as quickly as they can in order to get the concept of a really quick catch. And if you've got your thumb not underneath the oar and you're just hanging onto the oar with your thumb sort of along the oar, then you'll find it's really difficult to do that effectively. So you know, use your thumbs and sweep boat in particular. It's a very useful way to try and get the oar in the water. The other thing that's changed a lot over the years, now, when I rowed at school, the oars, we didn't have carbon oars and we didn't have narrow handles or even any handle size adjustment, really. It was just a piece of wood. And so they were very big handles. These days, handle sizes have come a long way. So, Lachlan, what's your experience in rowing with the right handle? I know you've got large hands, so you're not haven't had too much experience in rowing with little oars, but you would have, on occasion, I'm sure, rowed with oars that were the wrong size. How does that impact on your grip?
Yeah, so handle preference is a very unique thing, and I think that's probably mostly because there's just so many different handles out there, so many different compounds. You know, some have larger inside hand grips and smaller outside hands. Some are wood on the outside, foam on the inside. And yeah, so people do have their preference, but I think you can go too far down the rabbit hole of what grip is best in that regard. Generally speaking, when I've been put in to a crew, we have a set of oars, and whatever the handles are, that's what it is. We don't just go around walking with our own handles that we just attach to any oar. Having said that, generally I'm a fan of slightly, so if, for example, if I looked at the Croker oar handle chart, I'd be a blue sized grip. I actually enjoy rowing with yellow sized grip better. I think I can manipulate the handle a little bit better, and I've been rowing with yellows for quite a long time. I started off using blues, and a lot of people will, but generally speaking, I prefer the yellow grips if I have a choice. Obviously, if you're in a crew boat and you have to use a set of oars that are all the same, it's more important that you use the oars that all have the same characteristics, you know, flex and blade shape and all that, than it is for me to have a preference on my grip. But if I'm in my single, I'll pick the yellow handles, and I'd recommend it once you get into rowing and you've, you know, become proficient with the general sort of technique and you're thinking about changing, getting a set of oars, I'd try as many different sets of handles that you could, just to get an idea for what you like with your rowing, because there's a lot out there, and I guarantee you'll feel better with some than others. Same goes with oars, of course, different types of oars, different blade shapes, all of that. But yeah, we're talking about grips specifically, so I reckon try and work out what grips you find most favorable, and remember that cleaning your handles is very important to how they perform. So if you don't clean your handles, say with sugar soap, every few rows, and you're wearing sunscreen, and you get sunscreen on the handles, and then when they get wet, they're slippery, and it can just be a nightmare. So keeping your handles clean is a big part of being able to manipulate them well to be able to get a good rowing stroke. And if you don't clean them, then they're not going to perform. You're going to have to want to try and grip the handles tighter. That's going to lead to tension and rowing. You need a lot of relaxation and precision, a real sort of flow state. Whereas if you have to be concentrating on gripping hard onto the handles because they're not clean enough, then that's going to really ruin your race. And you typically don't realize until you're out there and you get the blade splash some water on the hand, someone splashes water on your handle, and it becomes almost impossible to grip. So staying on top of that oar maintenance, I think, is something that's very underrated when it comes to performance in rowing. So this is a topic that's got a lot of video-based instruction that goes along with it. Unfortunately, we can only say so much in a podcast. It's often easier to see it. So if you remember, you can head over to our website, decentrowing.com. We've got heaps of videos in our rowing library that talk about sculling and sweep handle technique at all points during the stroke. If you're interested in learning more about rowing or want to try our free rowing course, you just have to enter your email at decentrowing.com and you get taken straight there. So until next time, happy rowing.